Chapter 39. Just short of the actual ford, the Blood Gullet lay at anchor in the tranquil waters of the River Moss. The two ferrets who had been left to guard the ship, Ball and Widge, had become accustomed to their life of happy idleness. Both beasts lay on the stern deck, sharing a flagon of ship's grog. Attached to their footpaws were fishing lines. Widge watched his float moodily, urging it to move.
Bob up and down, why don't you? We ain't had a bite all day.
His companion had fashioned himself a sun hat from a large dock leaf. He pulled it down, shading his eyes.
I think those fish are like us, mate, too lazy to move.
Widge yawned.
Can't get another flagon of grog, mate. This one's empty, look it.
Sticking out his tongue, he upended the flagon. A single drop trickled out, landing on his nose. He tossed the empty flagon into the river. His companion, Ball, closed both eyes, mimicking a snore.
Can't hear you, mate. I'm asleep. Get it yourself.
Widge half-heartedly threw the flagon cork at him and missed.
It's your turn to go. I went last time.
Ball sniggered.
So you did. But I can't go because I'm the laziest beast aboard this ship.
Widge decided to play the game. He shut his eyes.
No, you ain't. I am. If this ship started to sink right now, I wouldn't move. That's what you call real lazy.
Ball thought for a moment before replying.
You call that lazy? Listen, mate, I wouldn't even budge if this old ship went afire.
A cavernous rumble sounded out, almost above their heads. Before they could stir, both vermin were pinned to the deck by the stout wooden handle of a pitchfork, which pressed down on their chests. Gorath the Flame leaned on the shaft, his deep growling voice turning the blood in their veins to ice water.
My kin beasts weren't lazy. They were old and weak, so they couldn't batter their way out of a burning dwelling after sea-raiding vermin locked them in.
Ball and Widge found themselves staring up into a pair of burning bloodshot eyes, surmounted by a flame-like crimson scar. Panicked words tumbled from the ferret's mouth.
It wasn't us, Lord. On me oath, it wasn't.
We knew nothing about it, so honest.
We're all that's left behind to guard the ship.
Captain Visgar ain't let us ashore for seasons. You gotta believe us, sir, please.
The huge young badger pushed down harder upon the pitchfork shaft.
Has Longtooth returned here yet?
Grunting and wheezing as the breath was crushed from them, the crew beast gasped painfully.
No, Lord, returned yet.
We don't know when to expect him.
Gorath released the pressure from their bodies.
Get up, quickly.
They staggered upright, tenderly holding cracked ribs as the pitchfork tongue was levelled at them. Both vermin wept brokenly.
Oh, sir, you ain't gonna slay it, are you? Have mercy!
We ain't nothing but poor ship watchers. Tis Captain Visgar you want, but watchers some reason evil folks.
With a massive effort, Gorath fought to shake off the blood wrath which threatened to engulf him. Whoomp! He slammed the tines of tongue deep into the deck timbers. Grabbing the two ferrets by the scruffs of their necks, he lifted them up bodily. They screeched in terror as he shook them like rag dolls.
Yeek!
Oh, mercy, sir, mercy!
The young badger's chest expanded as he sucked in a huge gulp of air. He threw them from him, clear over the stern rail into the River Moss. Leaning over the rail, he bared his teeth at Widge and Ball.
Go that way, north! Go now, before I change my mind and kill you both! Go, while you still have your lives.
Gorath turned his back on them, knowing that when he looked again, all he would see was the muddied water they had churned up in their mad flight. Retrieving his weapon, Gorath stood there shaking, forcing himself to calm down. Making his way to the galley, he went in and sat down. Overcome by thirst, he drank a full pitcher of water, then he sat still, awaiting the arrival of the fox.